Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
At 12:18 on Grant and Danny, how much has your opinion and tone changed on Trent Williams versus the Redskins since this all began at the beginning of training camp? Do you still feel like you did when this all started about whether or not he's going to come back? And how would you handle this? We'll take your latest temperature. Right now, it is time for the Beltway Blitz. We'll get to Byron Kerr on the Nats as they play the Reds tonight in a few moments, but let's start off on the gridiron. J.P. Finley, NBCSportsWashington.com. J.P., Adam Schefter says the Redskins have gotten phone calls on Trent Williams, and they had told teams they will not be trading him. Do you believe that?
Well, Grant, I reported this morning. I know the Redskins have gotten phone calls on Trent. I know there are three teams actively pursuing him. That includes the Patriots, which we first heard about a couple weeks ago. So we know that people are calling. As far as the Redskins won't trade him, I believe that's what they're saying today and maybe yesterday and tomorrow. There's no upside in them admitting they're looking to trade him, because they lose leverage in the deal. They have to pretend that the charade of them willing to stonewall him for a year is possible. I just don't see it happening. I heard your tease there about, you know, taking calls on how much your opinion has changed. The phone calls I've had with some league folks in the last week, I think Trent Williams is as good as gone.
Wow. So Jordan Palmer Finley, ultimately you think that he's traded and that's how this gets resolved?
Yeah, I do.
What's the timetable on that? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, hold on. I'm not saying you specifically, JP. I don't remember every person's opinion the entire time. But I think collectively, most of us didn't think that way. And at one point in time, he's going to show up. Eventually, he'll come back. They'll do something. They'll get this right. What's changed?
For me personally, I'll tell you, is I wrote a story last week while we were in Richmond. After talking to a few different people close to Trent that know the situation, I thought all along that this would end in late August, that Trent would show up and that he'd be the left tackle in Philadelphia week one. A lot of that was because I thought he didn't want to miss game checks. He didn't want to miss regular season games. He cares about football too much. The conversations I have with these folks lead me to believe that while he still cares about games a tremendous amount, the issues between him and the Redskins organization are such that he is willing to really miss regular season games and to carry this thing on for a while.
Okay,
so with that knowledge, I think if I know it, I think the Redskins know it too, and I think they recognize that they cannot let this continue to just get worse and worse, and at some point you got to leverage your asset.
So, Jake Plummer-Finley, when does this go down then? Is it wait until the regular season, until a tackle goes down? Is it hoping somebody gets injured somewhere and then somebody comes more desperate? When do you think this all goes down?
I think it all depends on when the price tag gets high enough. Mm-hmm. I think you are talking about a first-round pick, or you're talking about a player that can help the Redskins in return right away. Because the other part we know that Bruce Allen and throughout the organization has said is, we believe we're close. So if you believe you're close, then a package of picks in 2020 and 2021 might not mean as much to you as a good player that can help you right now.
J.P. Finley, NBCSportsWashington.com. If they trade him, Donald Penn presumably is the full-time left tackle when he gets in game shape?
Yeah, I mean, full-time, we'll wait to see, but I think certainly he'd be the starting left tackle. He was very durable throughout his career until the last two seasons, but you are talking about a 36-year-old left tackle. So you'd like to think he can get through 16 games, but Trent Williams hasn't been getting through 16 games in a number of years. I don't know that Donald Penn will either.
John Paul Flam Finley. Thank you, buddy. Always appreciate it.
Thank you, fellas. Take care.
We'll see you, buddy. Let's talk baseball, please, Tommy. Our buddy Byron Kermess in Sports 106.7 The Fan joins us. Talk a little Nationals here on the Beltway Blitz. We just had Sean Doolittle on. Wasn't the most pleasant thing we've ever done. We got to talking about a guy that's been great but hasn't really been pitching that well lately. What's the prognosis and kind of where are we at on getting Doolittle out of his funk?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's really in a funk. I mean, we know what he is, Danny. We know that he's a fastball pitcher that sometimes uses a changeup and very rarely uses the slider. And it's all about where he places that fastball. And when he can get that fastball to rise up into the zone, he is lethal. And on Friday, the Mets knew exactly what he was going to do. I talked to the Mets writers on Saturday while I was at Citi Field, and they said they were going to spit on anything else but the fastball. And unfortunately, his fastball was grooving right down the middle, so they were able to crush it. And that was that. So we know what we have in Sean Doolittle. The concern for me is, you know, how much are they using Sean Doolittle? And maybe that's the reasoning why they're trying to get Greg Holland in here to try to spell Doolittle a little bit, because they're using him a ton in close games. They haven't had many laughers in the last few weeks. So I don't really know if there's anything wrong with Sean Doolittle. We kind of know what he is and what he can do. And when he's on, like he was Sunday, he's fine. And then yesterday, Joey Votto had a real good at bat against him and was able to finally get something off of him. And so everybody's panicking. But, you know, I think Sean's going to be fine. It would be nice, though, to have somebody else like a Greg Holland or a Daniel Hudson or a Hunter Strickland to take some of the pressure off of him.
Byron, the Mets didn't do anything against Doolittle, though, this weekend that no other team hasn't done. I mean, he throws 90% fastballs all season long. 5% of the time he throws his changeup and 5% of the time he throws his slider. So that's who he is. That's what's coming every single outing. And every team knows that. Sit on that fastball, top of the zone. Those were more hittable, though, it seemed like. It's not like his stuff was, you know, he threw different pitches or they had some different approach.
Well, I mean, I think that's what I just said. I mean, he had 4 runs and 6 hits given up on Friday, which was the worst outing he had the whole season. I mean, the fastball, they weren't going to bite on the rising fastball, which is his bread and butter, so they were able to hit it. That hasn't happened too many times this season. I mean, he has 26 saves. He's done a lot of good things. You know, my argument is that, you know, he needs a couple of more days off, and because as bad as the bullpen has been, Grant, the entire year, they needed someone else to step up in that role, and no one else has stepped up. So Davey, to save his job, has had to put Sean Doolittle in there every single time, even in times when it wasn't a safe situation. So, you know, maybe he's a little bit taxed right now, and the spin on that fastball is not quite where you expect it to be. But I still think he can be very valuable, and I still think he can be a closer, quote-unquote. He's not maybe Craig Kimbrell at his best. But he certainly can be very, very helpful to the Nats. And I just think they need to take a little bit of pressure off him here in the last month and a half if he's going to be valuable to you in the postseason.
BK, quickly, latest on Max Scherzer.
Well, he's expected to have a sim game today. And you know, from what I've seen in his body language at Citi Field, he looks like Max Scherzer and that he's ready to go. They want to make sure that they can get 4, 5, 6, 7 more starts out of him instead of just one against the Rockies, and then he has to sit down. So this sim game, if they can have it in the rain or whatever, is valuable today to see where he's at. He looks fine to me. In his bullpen sessions, he's got up to 35 pitches this weekend, and he threw every pitch that he's available to pitch. So I think he's good to go, but they're being hyper careful here because he's very important to this team if they're going to make any type of run in October.
Byron Kerr, check him out on Twitter at Masson Kerr and, of course, at MassonSports.com. Always love having you on. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Have
Thanks,
a great
BK.
Week.
There's your Beltway Blitz. BK checking in on the Nats. His most recent story was on Sean Doolittle's grind through this part of the season. Also, Turner and Eaton providing an ignition to some of the Nats' heavy hitters on the road trip. We're Grant and Danny. J.P. Finley just said he thinks Trent Williams is going to be traded. Let's go back to that next on
gone.
The fan. CK's got good bits going on right now. Just had a great conversation with the boss. I'll catch you up in a minute or two.
The ending tone wasn't a very positive one, I'll say that.
You're going to want to hear what I've got.
There are those smiles that say that, yep, I'm uncomfortable with that. That was kind of the end.
Dom and Dar, hope you guys enjoyed all those steak dinners. I'll just say that, okay? It's a good time to be the Grant and Danny radio program, as always, and we appreciate all of you for listening. Brian Baldinger. Now, I've known Brian Baldinger, I'll say it a couple different ways, for about 15 years, not personally, just watching him on TV. I love the guy. He is awesome. I say his name different every time I ever say it. Is it Brian Baldinger, do you think?
I've always thought Brian Baldinger.
Okay, we're going to go with that then. I mean, he's one of those guys, like, I would walk across the street to meet him. If I was in D.C., walking out of District Dogs, dropping off Fiona today, and he was across the street, I'd go across the street and say, Baldy, huge fan of your work, man.
Because you go Baldy, because that's the nickname. Because it's Baldy's breakdowns. It's not Baldinger's breakdowns. Baldinger's breakdowns. Bellinger's breakdowns. It's none of that. It's Baldy.
He will be on the show with us at 1 o'clock today. Before that, at 12:45, we've got Nats tickets. They're taking on the Brewers. Nats, Brewers, August 18th, Nats Park. If you're listening, you can win those tickets. J.P. Finley just kind of casually at the end of the segment we did with him on the Blitz dropped a bomb. And he said that Trent Williams is as good as gone based on the conversations he's now having with people around the league. He is one of many that early on, like me, thought Trent Williams is going to be a Redskin this year. He's going to play. Eventually, he's just going to show back up, and he'll be on the field before week one. Like JP, I am starting to think no longer that's not going to be the case.
I haven't gone that hard, though.
To say he's good is gone. I'm not confident saying that, but he's talking to more people around the league than we are on this story right now. He went as far as to say that he thinks he's going to be traded by the Redskins. Yesterday, we saw that Adam Schefter came out of ESPN and said that the Redskins are getting calls. JP confirmed he knows as many as three teams that are reaching out to the Redskins. One of them is the New England Patriots. And the Redskins are apparently telling all those teams right now, Trent is not for sale. I get that they're doing that today. I'll bet you they'll do that next week, too. What about on August 29th? What about on September 5th?
That's what you wonder, right?
To me, that's when this thing swings. Regular season week of prep begins leading up to your first game. 26 days from now, you play the Eagles. 19 days from today, if you call Trent Williams' agent or him or whoever you're talking to and he says, yeah, I told you, I'm not coming, and I meant it, I'm not coming. See you guys at the end of the season. At that point, you got to start picking up the phone and trying to get a deal done, right? What is the point of just having him on your roster as a malcontent who's upset, who won't show up, and not recouping something back for him? Go get compensation. You can get a second-round pick and something else. Do that.
There's a bell curve here. And for people that may not be familiar, you know how this goes. There's a time, and I think we're in the beginning of that curve right now, that it starts to arc upwards in terms of what you could get in terms of trade for Trent Williams. I think the most you could have gotten, by the way, would have been before the draft, which is when they should have done this, because you should have known this was coming. You also should have identified where you were as an organization and started doing the shopping then. But here we are. Maybe you didn't really believe that he was this upset. Maybe you didn't really believe he'd stick to his guns. Whatever, here we are. I don't know, and I don't know if anybody really does, when the peak of that bell curve is going to be. It's like, when do you buy it? When does a stock hit its peak before it starts to arc and go back down? When is maximum value for Trent? If something happens tomorrow, let's say a team that's got designs of competing, and you can kind of pick it. Let's say the Atlanta Falcons, their left tackle goes down today at practice, God forbid, right? So the Falcons think they can be pretty good. They might be willing to give you that first rounder because they're desperate now. That happens today. Well, if nobody gets hurt over the next 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours, week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you may not have gotten to the top of that curve yet. And that's the balance. That's the gamble that the Redskins have to make. And that's even assuming they are willing to trade Trent Williams and are planning on doing so. This is a, when do we get the most for our asset?
Well, and I think in these situations, what you have to do is you have to determine, what do we want back? What is the compensation that we deem is worth doing this for? And so if I'm the Redskins, I would probably say, if someone offers me a 2 and a 3, it's done. If somebody offers me a 2 and a 4, I'll make that work. But first, I'm going to spend a couple days trying to get a 2 and a 3 out of them. As soon as you get that offer that you say is the
threshold,
break glass, this is now what must be done offer, second and a 4, let's say, you do it. Until you get that offer, though, you can.
That reserve price.
Play the waiting game. I wouldn't wait that long. Look, the trade deadline obviously is kind of the end-all be-all here, which is normally into the fall, right around Halloween, something like that, about 8 weeks into the season. If you get a first-round offer at any point, I think you take it.
You just do it?
Okay. I think today, if someone called up and said, hey, we'll give you a one and whatever else, a seven or just a one by itself, I don't care if it's New England and it's probably the 31st or 32nd pick in the draft. If they give you a first-round pick and a seventh-round pick, you take it, right? I mean, how could you possibly turn down a first-round pick right now for a guy who might play for you or might not and won't play 16 games and who doesn't want to be in your building?
If you believe that everything we've heard is true, and I think that's an important distinction here. How much is smokescreen? How much is, you know, actual stick-to-my-principles stance, okay? If you believe he's not playing for you, now, Bruce Allen, remember, he claimed he knew the truth, and he's spoken to Trent, and that their stance doesn't publicly hasn't seemed to have changed. So maybe he thinks something different than everybody else seems to. But let's say, for the sake of argument right now, you buy that I will not play for the Redskins given the normal course of events, unless some sort of absurd contract offer that the Redskins would be foolish to put in front of him takes place. So you buy that he's not playing for the Redskins. I'm with you on meeting the reserve price. If you get that offer, and whatever it is you deem is better than market, somebody's desperate enough to give it to you, I'm with you that you take it, because that maybe that better offer that might emerge in a month.
Yeah, you're waiting.
There's
on
no guarantee
that
there.
May or may not happen.
May or may not happen. Exactly.
And maybe they move on and do something else. That's not to say that they can, you know, add somebody great, because you couldn't. You had to go get 36-year-old Donald Penn. But maybe somebody gets cut that wasn't supposed to, who started 14 games in the last 2 years. Maybe they make another trade where they give up less, a fifth round pick for a swing tackle like, you know, Ty Nsekhe or something, and they say, well, we'll get by this way.
So let me ask you this real quick. What would you rather have? Trent forgive, come play for you if you're the Redskins, or get a first-round pick right now?
First-round pick.
You'd rather a first-round pick than him come back?
I would, because of this reason. I don't believe in the next 2 years the Redskins are going anywhere with Trent Williams. I really don't. I personally believe, and I don't want this to be the case because I think he's a better coach than he gets credit for, and he'll be good in his next stop if they move on from him. I think they're going to go around 6-10 this year, and Jay Gruden will be out of a job, and you will be starting over with a new head coach next year. What better way to do that than with two first-round picks, and at that point, four first-rounders over 2 years?
See, I'm with you. I'm surprised to hear you say that, honestly, because that's how I feel. I would think that you would have said, no, I want Trent Williams. And the Redskins want Trent Williams, I think, over a first-round pick. Would you agree with that assessment? You think they'd rather have him just come back and play, or would they rather have a first-rounder?
I bet you they would care where the first-rounder is. Like, maybe over the 31st pick from New England in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But if it's the 14th pick from, you know, they would rather have that, I would think. I can't imagine anyone offers a first-rounder. I would be shocked. You have to pay him after you get him, or you're only basically renting him for two seasons, one of which, he's out of shape right now from a football standpoint.
There's that.
Like, week one, week two is not going to be max capacity Trent Williams for a guy who normally plays 13 to 14 games a year. So now what are you looking at this year? You may be getting 13 games from him, a couple of which he's getting into shape at the beginning of the season. So if he dominates for 10 games in the playoffs and then you get next season, is that worth a first-round pick for a 31, 32-year-old offensive tackle? I'm not so sure about that. I think more likely you get a second-rounder for him. Everyone says, well, Duke Johnson just got a third-rounder. That was a crazy trade that shouldn't have happened. I don't really know why that happened. I don't get what that was about. But just because one person does something that doesn't make any sense, like I do this to justify things in my head sometimes, where like I'll be at dinner and one of my buddies will order something and they'll eat like six pieces of bread. And I'm like, well, they had all that, so I'll just do this. Like, no, there's literally, my body doesn't know what they just did. They have nothing to do with anything.
It has nothing to do with it.
I don't think they're getting a one. I think they could maybe get a two.
Yeah, because it's outrageous that Philadelphia got a first rounder for Sam Bradford. That's outrageous. It doesn't mean everyone else gets two.
What is your confidence that this ends with Trent Williams playing for the Redskins right now? 1 to 100. We'll give you our numbers next. 800-636-1067. How much has that number changed since training camp started? How would you handle this moving forward? You just heard one of our favorite Redskins guests saying, Williams is as good as gone. You're listening to The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Which will be nice. But the question is, are you reading the tea leaves differently on Trent right now like we are? I mean, if you pull the audio of the discussion that we had on him from right before camp started a month ago to now, it's so different.
We're going, dude, he's playing for the Redskins in week one. This is all much to do about nothing.
But because think about why. These holdouts happen all the time. Mm-hmm. They rarely ever go into the season. And the list recently is like Le'Veon Bell of guys that actually ended up not playing for the team again at all. He forced his way out by literally sitting out an entire year. Now, will Trent do that? I don't think the Redskins are going to give him a chance to do that because they'd trade him before that happens. So before we get to the phones, let's give our percentages. 1 month ago today, pre-training camp, what percent did you think Trent Williams would start in week one?
I think I had 95, if memory serves.
I was close to that. Yeah.
I think I was either 95 or 90, just given the variables that we didn't know. So I'll, for the sake of argument, I'll say 90.
I'm going to say I was between 90 and 100. I don't remember exactly what I said, but if you told me I said 100, great. If you told me I said 90, awesome. What are you right now that Trent Williams plays in week one?
I'm a lot less confident. I think that he plays for the Redskins in week one. I think 33%.
I'm going to go with 25%.
Now, here's why I've dipped into that level, and I want to hear why you dip too. I dip, you dip, we dip, we all dip.
Who dips?
Even if he does play for the Redskins, I now don't think it's going to happen in week one. Like, if it does get resolved, I think it's going to be after a while. Right? I think he's now, I now believe that even if he is a Washington, he's a Washington Redskins, even if he is, he's still missing time.
Correct. Yeah, that's why I said the week one part, because now the next one
it's important, yeah.
Will he play for the Redskins again?
Yeah, that's
and
where
that's
it's
where I'm back up over or around 50%. And in texting just with a friend this weekend, I was like 55-60% he plays for the Redskins again. That's down to me to like 45-50. I'm starting to think, remember like, when was it? Last week at some point. I looked over at you during a break and I was like, I think Trent Williams is going to get traded.
And you were like, I feel weird about thinking this. Should we even talk about it? Like, because in your mind, you're probably going, this is a little irresponsible for me to think this at this point. And now, commonplace reporting.
You even said, you're like, why don't we talk about that then? And I was like, I don't know why. I just have a hunch that he's going to get traded.
Because you've got the hot take alarm filter where you're worried about it. I clearly am not. I want to ban all combat sports and eliminate the position of kicker and punter. So I'm not worried.
But
I don't have that same alarm.
You still like left tackle.
Left tackle should absolutely be on the football field. They're real football players. But you have that alarm that I don't have.
Every passing day where he's not there doesn't necessarily make me think that he won't show up like it does with some people, because I think this is just part of the holding out process. But it is the steadfast nature with which he has just remained silent. He hasn't said anything. Mm-hmm. The team is not bending at all. They haven't sent anyone to talk to him. To our knowledge, no Bruce Allen, Dan Snyder, mea culpa, or come to Jesus. They don't think they have anything to apologize for, and I'm not faulting them. I don't know that they do either from a financial standpoint. Perhaps medically they do. But are you guys also seeing this thing move in a direction where Williams' days here might be numbered? Kevin in La Plata, what's up?
Hey, guys. Great job. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks.
Listen, I got a couple thoughts here. One, Trent's gone. He's done. He's not coming back. Take a second or a third, depending upon another player added to the mix. You can work some things out. And there's two things we know about the Redskins. Whatever the right thing to do, whatever the correct thing to do, find the opposite. That's what they'll do. And number two, when they do that, they'll trot Jay Gruden out there and have him explain why they're winning, why everything's okay, and we all should be happy.
Well, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about this yet. But regardless of what happens with Trent Williams, this is a Bruce Allen has to speak situation.
100%.
Your name has been brought up as one of the guys who has that Williams has the issue with, by the way. This is a bigger than the coach thing. And to this point, Jay Gruden has been your sacrificial lamb to answer all the questions. If Williams is traded, Bruce Allen has to explain what happened. If Trent Williams doesn't show back up. Before that season starts, as you're ramping up for week one in the Eagles, you need to have a press conference and say something. Should have happened already. Should have happened in Richmond. It didn't. The last thing you said about this was right before the start of camp that he would be here for day one. He wasn't. You should have talked then. You haven't. Kevin, Arlington.
Hey, fellas.
Hey, buddy.
Well, just to add to that, this is what I anticipate happening. I anticipate not only Williams to be traded, but Josh Doctson to be a part of the package going back to Texas, to the Texans. That's my take. I believe that's going to happen. I don't think JP would have gotten the tip he got if they hadn't reached a point where they've heard from one of these three AFC teams, I'm thinking it's Houston, about a package that they want or that they could live with. They don't want this thing dragging into the regular season. I think they're naively thinking that they'll be able to get by with Donald Penn and whomever. But as for Bruce Allen facing the music, this is how he's going to face the music. Just as he did when he went out to see Kirk and then had to come back, put the second, you know, stick with the second franchise tag. And he had that little meeting with selected media.
Yeah, like four guys.
Statement, and there aren't going to be any questions and answers. Okay, there's not. He's going to have some prepared statement at Tony Wiley and others going to drum up, and that'll be the end of it.
But you know what, Kevin?
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you for the call. You're plugged in, man. I like your calls. He probably will do something like that. That's better than nothing. I don't care if he does what he did last time, which is he basically hit up all of their team partners.
He grabbed a few guys that he likes, brought them into his
NBC
office.
Sports Washington, Channel 4, you know, you name the, whatever, whoever they do business with, you guys get to be here. And there are no follow-ups, but you get this exclusive where we're going to say incorrect things about the offer that we made to Kirk Cousins' contract. At least they said something at that point. They're going to need to with Trent Williams. Here's another question. 800-636-1067. Brian Baldinger is going to be with us at 1 o'clock, so we can ask him about Williams and his impact on the Redskins when he joins us as a guy who breaks the film down and studies the O-line closely. How much worse is this team if they don't have Williams and say it's Penn and Jaron Christian? Quantify that either in number of wins or impact, because they're going to have to call different plays legitimately.
Yeah.
They've said that on record. Jay Gruden has said that about how much things will change for him if he doesn't have Trent Williams. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Brian Baldinger at 1, end of this segment. We've got Nats tickets. They play the Brewers. Should be a fun game between two teams fighting for the wild card. Hopefully it'll be a big turnout. Hopefully it'll be loud at Nats Park. We shall see.
Always like to see that.
Not the case last evening as they came home for their first game of this homestand. Only 5 homestands left, month and a half left this season. Kind of a dead environment, particularly early. They ended up getting about 21,000 in the park last night. Let's go to Moses in Georgetown. Morgan, are you going to be playing with Trent on that offensive line?
Oh, no. I think I would probably be a complete downgrade from anyone they pull off the street at this point. But anyway, I would say, I think from the Redskins' perspective, I would see the reason why they may want to see if, you know, if Trent does change his mind, more so just because he doesn't play 16 games regardless. So maybe they feel like they have a little buffer time. So this time that he may, if this does drag out into the regular season, you know, they just see that as time that he would be injured anyway. However, I think, though, at some point they do see Dwayne Haskins getting in there. And you can't put him in there with a question mark at left tackle. Trent Williams is by far the most important player on the roster in Dwayne Haskins' development at this point in his career. More so important than any of the running backs, any of the wide receivers, Jordan Reed, or anyone else that you can put out there.
So are you maybe that they don't trade him, or they're going to be reluctant to because of what it would mean for Haskins?
Correct. So I feel like they are going to trade him. That's what I feel like, but I feel like they feel they can wait this out a little bit longer because Dwayne Haskins obviously isn't going to start week one. So they can feel like they may have a little leverage to see if maybe he changes his mind and comes back. And also, as you mentioned earlier, there may be injuries, to other teams that are competitive, who would then, be able
to
offer.
Yeah.
Yep.
Appreciate
exactly.
You.
Thanks,
Look,
Mom.
I get that Haskins matters a lot to you. First of all, if I'm calling the shots, Haskins isn't on the field anytime soon. later in the year, you could say, well, you still need Trent Williams. I don't know if Trent Williams will be on the field then anyway. Look up the December games log. There are a lot of December games where he's not available at the end of the season as it is. But what matters more? The shot that he might have to take, we're saying hypothetically, because Donald Penn or Jaron Christian's out there, when I think you can coach the ball out of his hand quickly. You can coach by way of play calling and around deficiencies at the tackle position at times. Or getting a first-round pick back at the 30th pick in the draft, let's say, the 26th pick, that becomes your left tackle for the next 8 years, potentially. Like, you go get your Andre Dillard type with that first-round pick. Now Haskins doesn't have to worry for 7 or 8 years. Because newsflash, if Trent Williams doesn't get traded, you're still in the market for a left tackle
now.
You
still are, yeah.
And you still have to... Those guys aren't available in the third round, fourth round. But you're drafting that dude in the first round.
But to the... Let me play this out real quick. If we agree that if Dwayne Haskins is a seven-year veteran that's still very important to you, like if he's Aaron... I'm not saying he's Aaron Rodgers, but let's say he's Aaron Rodgers or whether it's Brady or Russell Wilson or anybody that's any good, right, where your rise and fall of your organization depends on him doing well, and you go, oh my gosh, our star left tackle is not going to play, this might hurt his development or hurt our chances to be really good because we can coach around it and do some different things. And I think that would be very true there. But if we all agree that this is the fragile time in his development where it can be irrevocably damaged from getting Joey Harrington or getting David Card, right, where he's getting hit a whole bunch,
yeah,
then you've got to take extra precaution. Now, if you don't believe that, then it means you let him play right away and you screw up and fail and he's awful and we'll get better one day. But if we all seem to agree that the best procedure for him is to slowly develop and take time, when you do throw him in there, could you be stunting his development with something less than adequate at left tackle?
Yeah, you could be stunting his development, but I think we're chasing a ghost a little bit when we act like if you don't trade Trent Williams, he's going to be on the field playing every down that Dwayne Haskins is this year. The actual flip side of that is, if you don't trade Trent Williams, he probably still isn't playing. He's just Le'Veon Belling it, and you didn't get anything back for him. And so it's still Jaron Christian, and it's still Donald Penn, and now it's a whole lot of nothing back in the draft. You didn't get the second-round pick that could be, you know, your tackle or a position that helps you a whole lot next year. Because for the record, again, I don't think they can get a one back for Trent. I would love to see it. I think they should do everything they can to try to get a one back. I just don't believe that a team would offer that knowing they got to pay the guy with his recent history of durability. Kyle in Fairfax.
Hey, guys. Up until recently, I think there was a small chance. I'm going to say zero now. It's for the football reasons, and it's Bruce Allen. First of all, if Trent really wants to prove his point and it's personal, there's no better way to show the Redskins what they're missing and how bad they need him than letting the Eagles, Cowboys, and Bears just absolutely slaughter this offense, because that's what's going to happen when you face those pass rushes. So that's the football perspective. Now, if you're Bruce Allen, you have to think about the way Bruce Allen behaves. His best move for Bruce Allen right now is to wait and see. There's two moves. He can wait and see and try to call Trent Williams' bluff by letting this go into the regular season, because I don't think Trent Williams' trade value goes down week three or week two. If anything, it's going to go up a little bit when teams are recognizing how bad the offensive line is and Trent Williams isn't there. But also, Bruce Allen screwed up the Kirk Cousins thing by not trading him to get a pick. So there is pressure on Bruce Allen to make sure the Redskins get out of this at some point. If he hits close to the trade deadline and realizes, you know what, this isn't working, I got to do something, because I can't just let this player get out of here for a fourth-round pick, because Dan Snyder's going to hold him accountable. So I think there's no way he plays week one, and there's a very high likelihood that he's out of here based on Bruce Allen's previous track record of screwing up Kirk Cousins.
Interesting.
Appreciate you, buddy. Thanks, Kyle. I mean, the Bucs game last year, it was only a 16-point game because your quarterback kind of took everything that was given to him and nothing else, but you moved up and down the field all day. It was a dominant win in Tampa Bay. You know, Williams was not on the field that day, the difference being that they had Ty and Secchi. You go back to the November win against the Giants in 2017, he didn't play. They win. The game before that, he didn't play. They beat Seattle on the road in Seattle. It's not like when he hasn't been on the field that they've just bogged down and become nothing, but they at least had a serviceable replacement. They had a guy in Ty Secchi who could give you adequate left tackle production in the National Football League. Can Jaron Christian do that right now? I would say most people would say no. Can Donald Penn do that? Possibly. He's 36, but we're not sure. Mike in Centerville.
Hey, what's up? Hey, I wonder why you guys haven't thought of why not? There's a lot of extra. We got people fighting for positions on other lines. Why not trade Trent Williams for somebody that might have an extra lineman and a pick? So why not pick up a lineman that we can plug in for short term and pick up a fifth, sixth round pick with it, and that would plug in extra lineman you need now.
Well, thank you, buddy. I just don't
who's giving up is someone giving up something better than a guy that was drafted in the third round last year in terms of upside?
Yeah, it's hard to get those trade values right when it's player plus pick. I mean, you know, you go back to the Redskins getting jobbed in the Clinton Portis deal, where now that would never happen now, you wouldn't think, where you trade a cornerback that's an all pro for a running back, and you had to get up a second round pick for that. I think we know more now. But the idea of a player being involved may sweeten the deal a little bit if it does fill a need, if it is somebody that's, you know, not doing well. So, for example, Jadeveon Clowney is not showing up in Houston either, and it sounds like Bill O'Brien has no idea. Now, obviously, you'd like Jadeveon Clowney. That'd be really good, but that's not a dire need for the Redskins, given Kerrigan, given their top three, you know, interior defensive linemen, plus some of the depth they've got there, and they just drafted Montez Sweat. I would like Jadeveon Clowney. He's an upgrade, but maybe that's not the best price. I'd still rather have a first-rounder if that's something that's on the table. But maybe something like that could happen. And again, I don't know specifically what player would make a lot of sense for or what situation would make a lot of sense, but the idea of maybe a player that doesn't quite fit in a certain spot may be something that the Redskins could be attracted to.
How much worse will these Skins be if Trent Williams isn't at left tackle? And when should we see Dwayne Haskins? We'll ask Brian Baldinger those questions. We'll also go around the league with him. Next, right here on Grant and Danny. Caller number 10 right now at 800-636-1067 is promised. Every day, this segment, two tickets to see the Nats. These tickets are to see them take on the Brewers August 18th. Nationals Park, 106.7 The Fan. PenFed Credit Union taking you out to the ballgame throughout the campaign, courtesy of PenFed Credit Union. Details, thefandc.com. Baldy is next.
It's Danny Ruya here for my guys at Ted Britt Ford. They've been doing business for 60 years. I want you to think about that. 60 years. What were you doing 60 years ago? Most of you weren't around. I wasn't. I turned 40 in a couple weeks. Ted Britt Ford was doing business for 21 years, but even before that. These guys are awesome. I love Ted Britt Ford. I got three cars from Ted Britt Ford to prove it. And because I don't pay for gas, I save a lot of money. Enough money where I can absorb a $150 speeding ticket on my way to work this morning that I still can't pay because the stupid government won't post it. I'm sure it's 2019 and they can't figure out a way to post a speeding ticket. I'd like to pay you money. Allow me to pay you money. Speaking of money, you can save a bunch of it at Ted Britt Ford. During the Summer 60 event, you don't pay them anything for 60 days. Nothing. Nothing. You buy something on the lot, that's awesome. You don't owe them anything for 60 days. And you get some pretty good deals, too. How about this? 2019 Ford Ranger pickup, 0% financing for 60 months, plus $1,500 trade assist, plus no payments for 60 days. Only at Ted Britt. Fairfax, Fantilli. Click away at TedBritt.com. And when you go, don't speed, work from the line. And then also tell them.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.